6:4-9, read together. The King of love my shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. I nothing lack if I am his, and he is mine forever. Where streams of living water flow, my ransomed soul he leadeth, and where the verdant pastures grow, with food celestial feedeth. I was feeling a bit more, don't you? You can really get the words. Great. A couple of passages of scripture. We're looking at Jonah. And these are very short ones. But just to give a bit of the background, he's mentioned in 2 Kings, in chapter 14, verses 23 onwards. And he's mentioned again in Matthew. So we got a little bit about him beforehand. And a little bit about what Jesus says about him. And then we'll read a bit of the book of Jonah a little bit later. 2 Kings 14, verse 23. In the 15th year of Amaziah, son of Joash, king of Judah, Jeroboam, son of Jehoash, king of Israel, became king in Samaria. And he reigned for 41 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and did not turn away from any of the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, which he had caused Israel to commit. He was the one who restored the boundaries of Israel from Lebo Hamath to the Sea of the Arabah, which is the Dead Sea, in accordance with the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, spoken through his servant, Jonah, son of Amittai, the prophet from Gath-Hepher. And that is just inland from the Sea of Galilee, about 60 miles from the coast, apparently. And then we read what Jesus said about Jonah in chapter 12 of Matthew. And it says from 38 onwards, "Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, 'Teacher, we want to see a miraculous sign from you.' He answered, 'A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be in the earth 3 days and three nights. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now one greater than Jonah is here.'" So we have a little bit beforehand of him being a prophet, and then we have a little bit about Jesus endorsing him as a prophet and endorsing what he said. Now I understand we can do something with the next hymn, "To God Be the Glory," number 708. I'm not quite sure what we can do with it, but...
They called on their gods while the deck beneath them creaked. Jonah, meanwhile, was fast asleep, oblivious to the noise and the din, till the captain threw him out of his bunk, saying, "Pray to you, God, and let's hope he's in." Well, it did no good. So the sailors cast lots, and Jonah, he drew the short straw. So Jonah drew the short straw, so they plied him with questions like, "Who, why, and which, and what's this trouble all for?" "Well, I'm a Hebrew," said Jonah, "and the God that I worship created the land and the sea, and it's not you that he's after, but I got a sinking feeling it's me." "Well, a God who commands this wind and the waves sent a panic throughout the crew. Do something quick or we'll all be drowned. Will a quick apology do?"
"You have no choice."
"You have no choice but to throw me over, then all will be calm and still. It's all my fault, I can see it now. I can't run away from God's will." "Well, that's a bit drastic," the sailors thought. "Well, after all, well, he's a likeable guy. Let's row for the shore. It's not very far. At least we can give it a try." But the harder they rowed, the more the sea roared. So to Jonah's God they... to Jonah's God they called out.
"He's got to go.
He's got to go. Please don't condemn us. You know what it's all about." So in the arts they threw him over. After all, what else could they do? Then moments later, all grew calm as the sky turned from black to blue. Well, after they stopped being sick and looking less green, the sailors, they just fell on their knees and gave offerings and praise to the one true God who could calm the mightiest seas. Now, meanwhile, what of Jonah? Had he been abandoned to certain doom? No. God sent a fish, and with a mighty gulp, Jonah slid into the smelly gloom. So there he was inside a fish. But did he whinge and moan? Well, he could have done, but instead our hero had a praise party all of his own. Well, after 3 days and nights of Jonah inside, the fish, he couldn't take any more. So God made him sick, the fish threw up, and out landed Jonah on the shore. Again, God told Jonah to get up and be on your way to Nineveh and no detours. So be a good chap and do as I say. On entering the city, Jonah declared to the people God's intentions and what he would do. That in the next 30 days, if they don't turn from sin, God's patience with them was through. Well, message received and understood, they began repenting all over the place. Sackcloth became the latest fashion as they abandoned their linens and lace. The king passed a law that all should fast and pray to God on their knees. Who saw their hearts and was moved with compassion by the sincerity of their pleas. But Jonah, he didn't like God's decision. He thought it was most unfair. They had sinned and deserved to be punished, annihilated, then and there. So out of the city he went in a sulk, and he sat down in the noonday heat, where God provided a fig tree to shade him, which Jonah thought were pretty neat. But the very next day it withered and died, and again Jonah's anger grew. "You've let me down. I want to die. My life is through." Now Jonah, he was thinking just of himself, but God has a wider plan. He created this world, and his love extends to every woman, child, and man. So don't be a Jonah and think that some are worthy of God's saving grace. Just remember the cross and think of the price that was paid for the whole human race.
Good, isn't it? Thank you very much. If you want to put her through it again later, you can do, but you don't have to. Jonah, actually, it's not scriptural, as you know, but it's a good insight into what goes on in the book of Jonah. We'll read hymn 359. Jesus Caught. It's an old one, but it gets a bit of the flavour, I think. It's not written for Jonah, but it gives you a little bit of the flavour. 359. Jesus calls us o'er the tumult of our life's wild, restless sea. Day by day his voice is sounding, saying, "Christian, follow me." As of old apostles heard it by the Galilean lake, turn from home and toil and kindred, leaving all for his dear sake. Jesus calls us from the worship of this vain world's golden store, from each idol that would keep us, saying, Christian, love me more. I just read the first chapter. Most of you are probably very familiar, I would suggest, with the story and the book of Jonah. And just read chapter 1 and a couple of verses of chapter 2. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up against me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, and there he found a ship bound for that port. After paying a fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. And then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea. Such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us, and we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" And then he answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord, because he had already told them so. But the sea was getting rougher and rougher. So they asked him, "What should we do to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. And then they cried to the Lord, "O Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, O Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. And then just the first bit of Jonah inside the whale. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, and said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry." And then his prayer ends, but I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. If you get a chance, it's very interesting to look at the prayers of Jonah in that and see what he was like in chapter 2, and then see what he was like a little bit later on. And the prayers are vastly different, which is well worth looking and considering. Just a chance for us to pray. I think we're still allowed to do that, aren't we? So we'll just have however long we need to pray, whether it's quietly or whether it's out loud. I'm sure you have prayers that you say in your heart, but we also ought to confess quietly in our hearts and make sure that we're right before God. So let's just come, and if you feel you want to pray aloud, feel free to do so. Father, we just pray for those folks who love you and serve you and are in countries where it's difficult for that to happen, and where even food is being used as a lever to try and persuade people to stop their love for you. We can't imagine. I can't imagine what that would be like. And so we do ask that you be with those people who are suffering in emotional ways, in physical ways, in mental ways, because of their love for you. And we ask you to give them strength, and as has been said before, be close to them, please, and assure them of your love. As we look down through history, we can see people who have died knowing that they will be with you in just a short time. And we thank you for the faithfulness of those who've gone before. And we pray that you'll help us to be faithful in the circumstances that you put us in, whatever they might be. We know that you supply our every need, and so we pray that we would be faithful to you in what you ask of us. And so also we pray for forgiveness for the times when we either miss opportunities or when we make mistakes, when we do things that are displeasing to you. And we acknowledge that and we say we're sorry, and help us not to do that again, we pray. And so we pray that you would continue your work in us. We know we are a process that's being worked out. And we pray that you would continue your work within us, shaping us and molding us more into the likeness of Christ, so that others might see him and be drawn to him by your Spirit, we pray. And so we offer these prayers in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to read another hymn in a minute, which fits in with your prayer quite well. It's great. Just to update you, we've not been able to meet together in Sherborne. Fortunately, we have some techie people. I am not one of those who managed to get us services and various things that happen, and we're very fortunate. And there are some advantages. There are some advantages. I still look forward to us being back together. But we've had people taking part who wouldn't have taken part in front of a group of people. Because they've been filmed on their own, they've been able to lead us in prayers or take communion or whatever it is, guide us in that way. And more people in that sense have taken part in the services than would normally do. They've done the Bible readings and so on. And it's been good from that point of view. And we've had some people join us who we haven't met yet, because they've seen it online and they've joined. And we're thrilled about that. They've got involved already. They have met people from the church, but I haven't met some of them. There's some advantages, and people can go to church without being known. I think it was one of the churches in London said they had something like 10,000 more people visiting their website or online service than they would have in the church. So there are some things that are happening. People can be a little bit anonymous and yet go to church. I'm not saying it's all pluses by any means, but there are some bits, but we look forward to when we can get that opportunity to be back together. But we've had a good crowd tuning in and various people taking part, so that's good. But we look forward to the future, especially in January when we start in a new building and when we hire the town hall, which is bigger. So even if the social distancing thing is still there, there'll be enough room for us to spread out and meet in that place. We look forward to that. We might have a couple more stories in a minute. I'm just going to read, or we can read together. 1111. How many ones is it? But it's a bit that Jonah quotes later. And it's from Psalm, I think, 86. And it's what we've used in our prayer. Let's just read that just once through together. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all that he has made. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. Yeah, he certainly is. And that was lovely how that fitted in. And You'll see that again in the passage if you read through the book of Jonah. So, Jonah. Great little book, as I've said. I don't know whether I have spoken on it before. I can't remember. But sometimes we take a little passage, we take a few verses, we take a verse, we take a couple of words, and we focus on that. And that's good. We can do that. I'm trying to do a general bit tonight on the whole thing. It's not going to focus just on one little bit. It's good to do that. But this is also good to look at it as a whole. And it can relate to us as individuals, even though it's written so long ago. And it can relate to us as a church and as churches. It speaks to us today. And as we read in that first bit in Kings, Jonah was a prophet. He was from Gath Hepher, which is just to the west of the Sea of Galilee. And he had success even with the kings in those days, and the boundaries were reestablished. So he wasn't a newcomer. He wasn't a rookie. He wasn't someone who was a novice. He had experience of God working in his life. And we also read that passage where Jesus endorsed Jonah, endorsed the book, in a sense, of Jonah, by referring to it. And obviously we relate that to Jonah being in the fish for 3 days, as Jesus being in the tomb for 3 days. But Jesus adds his stamp of authority on the prophet Jonah and the book that we have just looked at. We can argue about all sorts of things. We can argue about large fishes. We can argue about how on earth did he get from wherever he ended up on a beach to Assyria, which is many hundreds of miles inland. We don't know. There's lots of things that we don't know. We actually don't need to know. Sometimes it's useful to know, but if we just concentrate and want our minds to find out whether it's true and accurate, we can get hung up with our minds. But sometimes I do that. Sometimes I think, oh, I want to find out. Now, is there a fish big enough to swallow somebody? Yes, there is. We know a lot of whales have very small throats and they only eat plankton. So we know there are fish about that could do that. And I might have told you this story before, but I love it so much I'm going to tell you again. I have a friend called Ron Price, who we've done lots of trips together as youth workers. And he was in a relationship with a young lady who came from Trinidad. And her brother was a diving instructor in Trinidad. Does it ring bells to people? It might do, it might not. He was a diving instructor in Trinidad. Used to take them out. I'm not a diver. We have a son who likes that sort of thing. But apparently you go out as buddies. There's two people. You always look after each other and all the rest of it. He lost someone on a dive. Disappeared completely. No evidence of anything at all. There's no snorkel, no spear gun, no oxygen tank. No equipment at all found. His buddy didn't hear the spear gun go off, which you apparently can hear in the water, or you know it's gone off. He just disappeared. He had no reason to disappear. They're not thinking he's trying to come up as a different personality somewhere else. The only explanation, and it is not a fact, the only explanation that they came up with, not me, is that a large grouper swallowed him. That's a big fish, isn't it? So it could happen. I quite like that story. Not if I was that person. I don't know whether he was spewed up after 3 days. But there are things that happen. And we know that this happened, that Jonah was in the belly of a fish for 3 days. If you read through Jonah, you'll see that the first chapter is about Jonah, God, and the sailors. The second one is about Jonah and God. The third one is more about Jonah, God, and the Ninevites. And the fourth one about Jonah and God. So it's quite interesting to look how it's happened and to see how he changed in his prayers. Most of you will know the story, as I've said. We start off, there was a call. There was a purpose. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. He had a call. He had a purpose. He was listening and he knew what he had to do. And basically, there's a straightforward question that we can ask. What is your call? What is my call? What is my purpose? Have you been listening lately? What are you meant to be doing? What am I meant to be doing? What is your purpose? We all should have a purpose. Sadly, we know of a good friend who has had a very interesting and busy life in various parts of the world. A very clever man who's written several books, who has now, it seems, lost his purpose in life. As he gets older, he has just lost his way. And he seems to be a shadow of the person that he once was. We all need a purpose. We all need to have a call. And therefore, we all need to be listening. Are you listening? Doesn't matter what age you are, what stage of life you are, whether you're young, whether you're old, whether you're at home, we need a purpose. It could just be prayer. Just be prayer. That sounds terrible, doesn't it? But it could be anything that's so important. We all need a purpose. Are you sure of what your purpose is? If not, perhaps you need to talk to someone and pray with someone about, I need a purpose. I need to be listening. I need a call. Jonah had a call and a purpose. He ignored it, but he still had that call and a purpose. You will know the story of Jonah. We don't need to go through that in some senses, but it will be familiar to you. But it could also be that some people are having a rough ride at the moment. Have you ever had a rough ride in your life? Certainly the sailors were having a rough ride, weren't they? Up and down, up and down. I'm not a great sailor. I don't envy them that at all. There was a storm, the circumstances. Do you have storms in your life? Do you have storms that come maybe just for a short time, or maybe it's a storm that seems to go on and on? We've already said that God is in control of the whole thing. He's sovereign. He knows what's happening. Do we have storms? Of course we have storms, but how do we handle the storms? How do we handle that situation? Had the call, had the purpose changed in the storm? No. We still need to carry on, whatever it is. We might face a storm in our lives, but we need to make sure that we still have that call and that purpose, and that we do not turn and run away from what we've been asked to do. Excuse me. There's a lovely bit, I think, in the prayer in chapter 2 where Jonah was in such a desperate place, wasn't he, in the belly of a fish. And yet he seems to be in a better place spiritually than what he was like when he was outside. That's nuts, isn't it? And yet the sad thing is, the more comfortable we get, sometimes the more difficult it is to hear from God. And in our Western world, that is so easy to do in our own circumstances. He was expecting probably to drown. He was expecting certainly to die. And yet this fish came along and he was stuck in this smelly belly. And he survived. And yet he seems to be in a better place spiritually than he was when he was in a comfortable situation. Doesn't that ring true sometimes? That actually we can be in awkward situations and then our prayers become desperate. Whereas when we're in a comfortable position, sometimes our prayers may not be, they may be, you may be better than at that than I am. Sometimes our prayers may not be as desperate as they could be. And our prayers need to be desperate. Desperate situations, desperate prayers. And sometimes we need to be desperate in order to pray and really hear and listen and focus on God. So, things were completely out of his control. He had no say in what was going to happen. And that's an illustration in a sense of our gospel, that it's out of our control. We can't save ourselves. Somebody else has done that for us. And somebody else enabled the fish to spew Jonah out. And somebody else has saved us from the life that we could live on the earth, and saved us from our sin. Totally out of our control. Nothing we could do about it. Great illustration. Great comparison with the gospel of the New Testament. And we also have that reminder that Jonah was given a second chance. And I do like that part, that he was given a second chance. Sometimes we can find ourselves, I can find myself being worried. What about if I make a mistake about that? And sometimes perhaps we don't need to worry so much about that, because we might be given a second chance. You can think, no doubt, of a few biblical characters who were given second chances. Can you think of any?
Peter.
Paul, David, Abraham, apparently. Trying to flog his wife off with his sister, or all sorts of things. So some of these people have second chances. Don't be afraid of making a mistake. It's better to go forward. I'm sure God can cope with that and he can deal with that. So there is a chance, something that we can do. If you've, maybe you've thought of something, I should have done that. And perhaps there's a little challenge for us here today, that we've put something to the back of our minds that you think, oh, I should have done that. I felt God calling me to do something. And there's a chance here that we might be able to respond to that and to react again nowadays, because you've heard God right and God wants you to do something. Never say, I wish I had. Never think that I wish I'd done that, because you should step forward and have a go at it. Keep your ears, your sensitive ears open, your spiritual ears open for what God is saying to you. My wife is a bit more sensitive in that area than I am. She sometimes hears things that I don't. I remember her when she was talking with a couple of people, a married husband and wife who I knew quite well, and they were having issues, not themselves, but with a member of their family. And Chris felt she had this word to say. Bizarre. Green was the name. Green was the word. And the couple looked at each other and said, well, how did you know? That's the name of the person that's causing trouble. Now, where did that come from? There's nowhere else, is there? It must have come. And presumably, we want to speak to God. God can speak to us. I don't always hear him. But sometimes that's because my ears are blocked rather than anything else. Chris heard that, and we need to hear. We need to be listening. But maybe there's something that you've heard that you haven't acted upon, that I haven't acted upon, that we need to act upon in our lives today. Second chance to do something. And the last little bit that we'll finish with is Jonah landed on a beach. We don't know where. We don't know how he got to Assyria. We do know that it wasn't a very friendly country to Christians or Jewish people. But we know that he arrived there, and we know that they turned from their evil ways. And Jonah spoke the words of God, and things happened. Now, I'm a great believer in testimonies, because we all have one, and we can share that, and nobody can argue with that. But Jonah didn't come up and say, well, I've been in the belly of a fish for 3 days and God saved me. He wasn't building himself up in any way. He was just speaking the words of God. 40 days and this place will be overturned and things happen. So if we hear the words of God and speak them, things will happen. We need to be aware of that and be able to do that. But the wonderful thing that I've not always realized is probably this is the first mission trip to the non-Jews, the Gentiles. Forget Paul. This was happening a long time beforehand. The Ninevites were all of a different culture and belief. And yet they turned away. And it reminds us that our focus as a church should always be on mission and reaching people who have not yet heard of the gospel. Maybe someone here, us, being challenged to meet with a group of people, maybe not Assyria, but maybe just a group of people or some other person who you wouldn't normally mix with, who you wouldn't normally come into contact with. And God is saying, we need to get out and reach that group of people or that person because they're not beyond the kingdom of God. And his mercy and his grace is extended to us and is extended to everyone. And they need to hear the good news of the gospel. So maybe there's a challenge there for us that we should be reaching out to someone who is outside of the kingdom, perhaps outside of our culture, perhaps outside of our normal framework. So there's a challenge for us today, having a call, having a purpose. Maybe we're having a rough ride somewhere along the line, but God's still with us in that. Salvation is of God alone. It's not of our own making. And we have a wonderful opportunity to reach out to other people. There's loads in this book of Jonah that's for each of us. Just looking at the bit that sometimes people say that some people like to remain in the belly of a fish. They like to have something to moan about. We can probably relate to that, whether it's ourselves or whether it's somebody else. And there's all sorts that relate in this wonderful, wonderful book of Jonah. Please read it again, absorb it, remember Ruth's bit that she wrote, and remember the story of Jonah, and it's relevant for us today. We need a call and a purpose and to reach out to others. Amen. Amen. We'll read this lovely hymn, 107:2. As we close. Right. In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied, for every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me, from life's first cry to final breath. Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I stand. May that be true for each one of us. And just a verse to close from Timothy. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.